Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. Good morning, 6:35. Welcome to it. Wednesday underway. I am Austin Hill. Honored to be with you weekday morning, 6 till 8, where we connect faith to life. We talk about that which is going on in our communities, our country, and our world. And we seek to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful as you get your day started. Still to come, our great friend Bill English with BibleAndBusiness.com. He'll join us after the news at 7 o'clock. Some insights on what it means to live courageously in the marketplace. From a biblical vantage point, of course, we'll talk about that. And so much more just ahead. Oh, and I'm looking forward to this. You'll meet an author next hour, a gentleman who's authored a book called Re-Evangelical. Not evangelical, but re-evangelical. Sort of refocusing, if you will, what the evangelical church movement is all about here in the United States of America. Very interesting thoughts. That said, let's talk about money. Your money, my money, that which we are seeking to invest and to salt away, so to speak, for the future. There's biblical wisdom in that, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament, I might add. As the Old Testament would say, consider the wisdom of the ant that stores up resources for a cold winter, right? But yet at the same time, as tumultuous as the world is and as crazy as the investment markets can be, it's difficult to know exactly what is the wise thing to do. Joining us to talk about this, a gentleman who advises investment clients all over the country. He also teaches finance and economics to kids in his own church from Smith Investment Management. David Smith on the guest line. David Smith, welcome to the Faith Radio Network. Good to talk to you, sir.
Well, thank you for having me, Austin.
It's a pleasure. I wanted to start with this, and I think you have probably seen this news and probably even know more about it than I do, but apparently, and this is something that, I hate to say it, gins up a lot of hyperbole and panic, but apparently there is some diagnosed incident of the Ebola virus in Sacramento, California, and there's already people in the dominant media in our country saying, oh my goodness, this could impact the stock market, could shake confidence on Wall Street. As an investor and from an investment vantage point, is this do you have panic, concern about the Ebola virus spreading in the U.S. that could hurt our economy?
That's a great question. You know, I don't know that today we should be making any investment decisions based on what could happen with Ebola. I do think it's kind of a wake-up call for us to revisit our backup supplies in our homes. You know, things, for example, if we have if you look at the Boy Scouts, I don't know if you're a Boy Scout, but their motto is be prepared.
Sure.
And it's certainly better to have, you know, some food and water and not need it than need it and not have it. So as far as an investment action right now, I wouldn't do anything. But I do think it should cause us to see if the power went out for a little while, how much water would we have? How much food would we have?
Fair point. So storing up resources, not just investing money, but storing up material resources is part of the stewardship plan, at least as you see it anyway.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And you were talking about some different verses there. I would think, you know, in times like this, it's important to read Psalm 91.
Point well taken. In terms of what has been going on the stock market, on Wall Street, so to speak, even just for the last, week or 10 days, and you follow this more carefully than most, David Smith, but things have kind of stabilized and are back to a trajectory of moving upwards and growing. We saw some wobbling on Wall Street, some selling off in light of, instability earlier this summer with Eastern Europe, Russia invading Ukraine and such. We also saw some fear, some jitters, as people will say, on Wall Street because of instability in the Middle East and threats on Israel and the ISIS terrorist group in Iraq. And yet, over the last few days or so, it seems like people on Wall Street have said, phew, well, that's over with. We can move on. And happy days are here again. How do you assess the stock market in light of all the tumult around the world and even domestic troubles, for that matter?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The lower quality investments have really gone up a lot, especially relative to the higher quality investments. And you know, it's human nature to reach for return and to own, you know, junkier assets, and those have done better. The problem with that, of course, is when you have a market turned down, they get roughed up a lot. And so most investors get in a cycle of owning low quality investments before market decline and having them crushed, and then they feel like, oh, I made a mistake, and they'll own high quality investments that are slow and conservative after the market has really tanked.
Mm-hmm.
It's far wiser to own high quality things, even if other things seem to be going up more. When the market does adjust, and it will, then you can move into the more risky investments when it feels counterintuitive, but you know, to later sell high, at some point you have to buy low.
Mm-hmm.
So people are wired in a way that is doesn't serve them very well.
It would seem that way. David Smith, he's with Smith Investment Management, smithinvestmentmanagement.com. He's on our guest line here on Austin Hill in the Morning. It's the Faith Radio Network. As you're saying these things, David, I am reminded of, I think it was probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, Federal Reserve Chairwoman Janet Yellen speaking to both the House and the Senate in the United States Congress. That's something that the Fed chair does on twice every year or something to that effect. And she kind of seemed to be alluding to the fact that, hey, some of these real exciting stocks that are, you know, the prices are being driven upward and whatnot, they're not necessarily real quality stocks. I don't know if she used the Q word quality, but she did allude to the notion that some of the highest price stocks that are being traded on Wall Street are overpriced. And it seemed like a lot of investors and investment managers kind of looked at that and said, my goodness, how could that be? I kind of hear you saying that, in essence, that some of these more attractive stock buys are not really worth the rate at which they're trading, whereas other stocks that maybe not as attractive or maybe don't get all the buzz in the media, may not be as exciting, they're better for the long haul. Can you flesh that out a little bit in greater detail for us?
You bet. And right now, the broad market, and when people say the broad market, of course, they're talking about the S&P 500, so the 500 largest companies in our country, they have an earnings yield of about 4%, which is very skinny. That's very small. We've only been that low in 1999, and 2007. And if you know a little bit about financial history, all those were shortly followed after very significant drops. So the broad market is expensive. Now, the highest quality companies, I mean, you can own, you know, Exxon and Johnson & Johnson and Microsoft, which are three, you know, AAA, you know, companies, great companies.
They've been producing gains for a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And they have the same, actually, they have a cheaper valuation. They are cheaper to buy than most kind of not very impressive companies. And so, you know, the junk or the, not junk, but the lower quality things have been bid up to really, really unsustainable levels.
Okay, fair enough. David Smith, Smith Investment Management, that's his company. He advises investors around the country, also teaches kids at his church about finance and economics, which is very cool. I want to ask him about that here in just a moment. How's a wise investor to exercise good stewardship? You know, we want to be putting away money and putting it in a place where it'll produce a return, a maximum return if we can. How are we to navigate all the news headlines that say there's panic over here, there's crises over there? How do we stay the course and remain on a pathway that's productive in your view?
Well, I think you right now you have to stay conservative. You need to own real things. Real things meaning, you know, oil or physical metals like gold, farmland, mm-hmm. things that are not going to go away, things that cannot be monetized. You know, the Federal Reserve is printing a great deal of money, and that changes the value of everything. And the reason why people that are in my business are having such a hard time figuring out what value is when you increase the amount of money all the time, it changes the yardsticks. So owning real things, rebalancing. You know, if you have 25% in cash and bonds and 25% in stocks and 25% in real estate and, mm-hmm. and 25% in something else, every 6 months or so, rebalance and get back to those percentages. And that's basically a defensive way to be conservative.
Just real quick before we get to a break here, is now a time to be looking at stocks to buy or bonds?
Certainly not, generally speaking, certainly not bonds. I would be a net seller of stocks, and I would review and basically sell the lower quality stocks, and you know, it's just it's a difficult time to find value. The broad market is very expensive,
mm-hmm.
and so you know, now's the time to be selling into any rallies, not buying.
We'll talk more in just a moment with David Smith. When we come back, I'll ask him about his ministry teaching children in churches about finance and economics. I love it. David Smith, Smith Investment Management with us. 6:45, it's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, weekday morning, 6 till 8. Thank you for being here. I am honored to have you with us and to be a part of your morning as we seek to be informative and challenging, hopeful and helpful here on the Faith Radio Network. By the way, as long as we're talking about finances, we have our fall share event coming up in just a matter of days. I've got a little sneak preview, a little advance information about that I'll divulge coming up here in just a few moments. David Smith runs a company called Smith Investment Management. He's dialoguing with us this morning about being wise, being good stewards with the money and the resources that we have to invest. He was advising a moment ago. It's not just about buying stocks or selling stocks, or he advised against buying bonds. He's also saying it's good to be invested in real tangible things like land, for example. David, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think that in some cases you were saying owning land is maybe a good thing. That said, I wanted to move on if we could. I want you to talk to us a little bit about the ministry that you have, teaching finance and investment and economics to kids in churches. I love the idea of that happening. I don't think it can happen enough these days. But how does that go for you?
Well, it really is a lot of fun. And I got an interest in it simply because my children are getting older, and I wanted to make sure that they were getting what I thought were important basics, so I have actually taught for about a year economics and investing and also entrepreneurship to teenagers at our church.
Nice.
And one of the most you know, beneficial things I think is that it helps me. It helps the kids, but it helps me. And probably you know, the word economics, you know, we hear that all the time. And I defined that for the kids, looked up the Greek roots to it, and it simply means rules of the house, order of the house. And so in everything we did with the kids, we took it back to the household level.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think of our country, how when economists talk, they make it sound so complex and so difficult to understand, when the root of economics is the order of the house. The model, the financial model for a system is what goes on in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so simple. But, you know, people are talked down to and made to feel that finance and economics is not something that anyone but a professional can comprehend, and that's just wrong.
I hear what you're saying, and indeed there is this air of superiority coming from Wall Street, and I, you know, as a media professional, I would say a lot of it gets perpetuated and maybe even begins in the dominant news media in our country, realizing that most of the dominant media comes from either New York or Los Angeles or maybe in some cases Washington, D.C., or maybe Chicago, but it's usually you know, one of the coasts, L.A. or New York, and there is certainly a mindset that says, well, you little people in North Dakota or Minnesota or Idaho or Iowa or whatever, you just don't understand these things the way we do. You're saying, on the other hand, and you're teaching children in your church that scripturally the economic considerations begin in our own families. Do I hear that correctly?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And these kids understand better because we have broken it down into what goes on in a normal home. These kids have a better understanding than most adults. And if, you know, often if your son was married, I know he's younger than that, but if he was married and had been married for 10 years or so, and you noticed he was under some stress, and you asked him, you know, what's going on? Why are you stressed? And he said, oh, I got financial problems. And you said, well, how much are you making? And he said, I'm making 50 grand. And the next question, of course, is, well, how much are you spending?
Mm-hmm.
And if he says, I'm spending 70,000, then you can put your finger on a real issue.
Yes.
Well, that's the same ratio of our overspending right now. If, you know, and
as
if your son was doing that, you'd say, son, that's not a good pass.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you drill down a little bit more and said, well, son, do you have any, you know, any debt? And if he said, yeah, I've got about $3 million of debt, then, you know, you'd say, come again?
Yeah.
Who in the world would have lent you that much money? Well, that would be 60 times his income. If his income's $50,000 and he owes $3 million, That would be promises that were 60 times his income. Well, the government liabilities and treasury debt has promises that are 60 times their income.
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, finance is not difficult, and if you can break it down to just what happens in a home, you know, that individual, if they do have $3 million of debt, $50,000 of income, they're going to have to restructure their life.
And that's what's awaiting the next generation in our country. David Smith, smithinvestmentmanagement.com is where you'll find him. David, thanks as always. We look forward to speaking again and appreciate you being with us here on the Faith Radio Network. 6:53, I'm Austin Hill. When we come back, let's check in on Susie Larson and her program Live the Promise. Give you a little flashback of what happened yesterday and a look ahead at what's coming today. Stay with us. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.